Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You want to be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
A good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron here. And if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. I'd like to hear a lot of people talking this morning about our Rockets and that the product that is out there right now. Boy, yeah. Boy, is it something to watch.
It is a thing to watch.
Interesting. It was.
There's a lot of really interesting effort going on the defensive end.
It is.
If you don't like Stephen Silas, just tell Stephen Silas we don't like you. You don't have to do that. That wasn't right. You don't have to not try and. Right? Can't you just say, we don't like you, and we're not going to do anything you say, and we're not coachable. So listen, it's just best for you to take your money and get out of here, or we're going to embarrass you with completely no effort and literally a free three-point look every time down the court if you want it, Memphis. It was astonishingly poor as a basketball team. This team sucks. They're one of the worst Rockets teams that I've ever seen. Maybe the worst Rocket team I've ever seen. And I saw the one, you know, I was a lot younger, obviously, but I saw the one that sucked so bad they got Ralph Sampson. That team was terrible. There have been teams that have been very mediocre and not fun to watch, like the Stephen Cat. The Stephen Cat Rockets actually were more skilled. Like, these guys, yay, they can dunk. That's like all they can do.
Yeah.
They don't try.
Well, at what point do you have to change? Because you can't keep putting Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green on the floor at the same time. You can't you can't keep shooting threes. You just can't. At what point do you say we're not a 3-point?
Do you know they
gave
up 30?
Awful.
How about
awful.
They gave up 30 or more points in all four quarters? 33, 41, 31, 31. They didn't even stop Memphis from scoring. I mean, Memphis's looks were so unbelievably easy to the rim, and you know, Ryan Hollins is trying to be Professor Positive about everything he can be. That's almost impossible. At some point, you have to. He even said, well, okay, you can't let. Or no, once they went to John Lucas at halftime, Luke was like, you know, said, well, what do we have to do to get better in the second half? He goes, we got to actually try. You know, we got to stop letting Morant just walk to the free throw line. We got to have better effort out there. Guys need to want to be out there and play better. Luke just should have said, we're just going to need some guys who try. It may not be these guys. We'll take Jayshon Tate, maybe Christian Wood. I guess we have to have Jalen Green because, you know, we drafted him second. And you can just throw everyone else out, I guess, and we'll just go use some of the Texans draft picks to get some people.
Well, at what point is it
going to turn? That was embarrassing last night.
That was really awful, awful, awful. At what point do you say, okay, you know what, maybe we made a huge mistake. First of all, putting these two, you know, KPJ really pined for, hey, we got to get Jalen Green. That's my boy. That's my guy. I you know, we're friends. Remember, we were friends, so we got to get him, and we're going to be together, and it's going to be great. Yeah, well, it sucks.
Jalen Green set a new Jalen Green record yesterday for plus minus. You know, his previous record for worst plus minus, hold on, his previous record was minus 32. Yesterday was one of the worst I've ever seen. I just looked at it, and you obviously just saw it, too.
Holy crap.
You want to tell people what it was?
Minus 37. Minus 37, when he's and on he was court, only on the court.
When Jalen Green is on the court, the Rockets get the living ship smacked out of them.
He was only on the court for 28 minutes. In his 28 minutes, they were down 37 points. That's how bad he is. That's how bad this whole thing is. You know, maybe you have to just admit, maybe you just got to get guys.
His PER dropped below 7 yesterday. He's now 6.9.
You mentioned something. Are they coachable?
I don't think they are.
Can they play some kind of different game? You can't put those two on the floor together. You just can't. They're just. Kevin Porter Jr., 2 for 11. 2 for 11. That is awful. This is Jalen Green. Let's see.
He had 3 assists, too. I mean, if you're not going to shoot well, run the offense. He played 21 minutes, but I think he played 21 minutes because the team's basically saying it. Steven Silas is just saying, look, we're not getting any effort on the defensive end. I mean, that was truly ghastly what was happening yesterday, where there was no effort to close out shooters. Like, I'm embarrassed. This team is embarrassing. It's a horrific team. But Steven Silas got his chance to coach in the NBA and a head coaching job. This team is – last year was bad. This team is completely ruining it. And I promise you no one's going to want to hire him as a head coach after this.
No.
What do you hang your hat on? You just ruined that man's career, basically, as a head coach, Rockets. But don't worry. Keep playing the way you're playing. This team I was so infuriated watching them give no effort. I mean, this is an Instagram basketball team. That's what you have. Congratulations. You've put together.
They got money.
Great.
That's nice.
They're an Instagram team. I mean, I guarantee if I went to the Instagram pages, there's more effort there than in getting back on defense and actually finding your man in the open court or rotating to the open shooter. I guarantee there's more effort put into posting on Instagram than there is to rotating to the open shooter. That's just terrible. I get more effort out of the Texans. I mean, clown the Texans, but I get more effort. I thought the Rockets would be the one who the rebuild would go faster, and maybe it still will because you can typically rebuild faster in basketball. But I'm telling you right now, I just want to see some effort. And it's just so embarrassing that these guys have that you don't even care about being embarrassed. Like, your care factor is so low that you can go into a game at 1-12 and play like that. Like, you don't care if people see you playing that way. It doesn't matter. There's no accountability, and it doesn't matter to this team if they if they play with no energy and no determination. They don't care. They're just getting through it, and I guess the next check's coming.
Here's the thing, though. Why are you still jacking up threes? I mean, you have to change your approach here.
Yeah, this team is not a three-point shooting team.
Not a three-point shooting team. They're the worst.
Are they the worst in the league?
This is an abomination. We got to check it. I would imagine. Could they be anything but the worst?
Look at team. It can't be good.
Honestly, this is it is an abomination. This team. It may be that you know the thought is, I was listening to the Afternoon Boys. And
they're called Wheelhouse. They're not called Afternoon Boys. Unless you mean Killer Bees.
I think it was the Bees. I think it was the Bees. And they were talking about, I think it was Joel and what they have to do. And one of them is
you're wrong. They're only the fourth worst.
Fourth worst?
32%.
No way.
Yeah, the Pistons are 29.5. Oklahoma City with Lu Dort, 30.9. And Denver Nuggets, 31.2. And there's the Rockets at 32 and fourth last. Utah Jazz only 32-1.
You mean another team is... Three other teams are worse than the Rockets. How terrible is it to watch those teams?
Hey,
Denver's a good team.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking to lead the league, could I interest you in a little category called turnovers, where they are 2 more turnovers per game than the second worst team, the LA Lakers. Their turnovers are 18.4 per game, Lakers 16.5. So there's some special stuff going on here on the turnover front. And from an assist standpoint, you are the fourth worst in the league as well.
Fourth worst in turnovers. Fourth worst in assists and the worst in turnovers. Good, nice. That's a good combination.
Yeah, and then in point differential, you're last in the league at 11.
But you listen, Kevin Porter Jr. He was an experiment. When did we decide that Kevin Porter Jr. has to be a thing here?
I don't know. DJ Augustin came in and immediately ran a little high screen and roll that turned into an easy make. Got another. Jalen Green came off a pick and shot not a great look at the basket, but made it, and he was fouled on a 3-point shot, so he got a 4-point play out of it. And that was an assist to DJ Augustin. You could see right off the bat that he just I don't know if it's Hollins or Craig Ackerman mentioned, he comes right in the game and runs a couple sets. Like, you actually ran plays. You ran two sets. But I've heard behind the scenes this team is not coachable. They play, and this apparently is coming from some people on the squad, that they aren't coachable. They're super, super immature and disrespectful to the coach. I mean, if all this stuff is true, you got to get guys out of there. It's just no – if Kevin Porter Jr. – you've already cast your lot with Jalen Green. You're going to have to – unless he's the big problem, you're going to have to stick with Jalen Green. I don't know how Christian Wood is. I don't know how Jayshon Tate's the only guy that I watch, and I'm like, yeah, I'd want him on my basketball team. And Christian Wood, I've heard some up-and-down stuff about him personality-wise. From a talent standpoint, I like Christian Wood.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like you got something to build around. Jayshon Tate has the basketball personality that you like. Jalen Green's got talent. You know, if Kevin Porter Jr., if you got guys in there who are trouble on the team, then you're just going to have to pull a Texans and get rid of them. You got to get your Bradley Robies out of there, your Charles Minu who's out of there. Because I know you may not win any more games, but you can't just let the cancer grow if that's what this is. Because this is, I can't believe I'm ranting about the Rockets for 10 minutes. Maybe none of you care, but I'm just telling you right now, this whole, the Rockets are going to be fun to watch thing. The Rockets are, not only are they not fun to watch, they're infuriating to watch.
No, it's bad. It's awful. It's unwatchable. It is literally unwatchable.
It is.
And so
they've had a couple games where they hang in, but it's like you can't stack. You know, the Nuggets game was one of, but you can't set. When's
that's
the last?
Can they stack
two games in a row? No. Where they try?
No, we keep going back to the 1-point loss against the Nuggets.
I know.
What the hell? That's 6-7 games ago. They're awful. Something's got to be done, because you're right. Maybe it is. Maybe they got to get some respect for some coach, or somebody's got to be able to tell them that they have to change their ways. They suck. It is bad. 7-11 ESPN 97.5. Jimbo Fisher joins us on the other side right here, so don't you go anywhere. We'll talk to the coach about last week and what's ahead. Right now, though, we're talking about Give Me the Vin. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. And John Clay Wolf is awesome, because John Clay Wolf will give you more money for your car than anyone else will. And he says this: if I can't beat CarMax's offer, or your dealer's offer, I will send you $100. And listen, he's beating everybody out there. It's unbelievable. One of the guys that worked for him said, yeah, we had to send one time we had to send a check to somebody in Houston because CarMax gave like $4,000 more than we offered. So it was like, all right, we'll send him $100, whatever. But that's the only time. Otherwise, they beat him every single time. So if you're looking for the best way to find out what your car is worth, not what it's worth, what John Clay Wolf will give you, because that changes what the worth is, go to GiveMeTheVin.com. You're looking to sell your car. It's silly to sell it to someone for less. Silly. Go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome in the head coach of them Fighting Texas Aggies, Jimbo Fisher, joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. That's where your good Aggs are. They own Damaris Barbecue, and you can go watch your Aggs play there. As they suited up this week, trying to bounce back. Coach, welcome back. That was a tough trip to Oxford. One of the things was, it looked like, man, they just played so fast. Your defense had to be worn out. How fast Ole Miss was playing on Saturday.
Well, when you don't tackle well, you don't close space, and give them first downs, you're going to get tired. You got to play well better at the line of scrimmage. You got to tackle well, got to close space, and that's going to happen. We didn't make plays on the up front. We didn't close gaps at the back, or we didn't tackle well at safety. and we got to close gaps and do those things, and the plays are there to be made. And that, when you let an Ohio team do those things and get going, it's going to affect you. And in the second half, you played like you could have played, and I know, for most of our trip, for a couple times, and you do it. So, you know, the Ohio is great if you let it get going. We shouldn't have let it get going, and we didn't take – what we didn't do is take control of the line of scrimmage in the first half on either side.
Coach, what can you do? You talk about this, and you talked about this headed into the game with us last week. The ability or the necessity of closing out space, you know, playing with leverage, wrapping up as a tackler.
Put your eyes on where they belong and pull the pin. It was there.
Yeah. How do you work that? Can you get enough work in that area to simulate what you're going to see from a team like you?
Oh, no doubt. Easy. Yes, you do. That's simulating the no huddles anymore, but you got two teams going as fast as you can go. You got two offenses set already that do it and rotate. You go faster in practice than you do in the game. And you get games and you get farther and you're doing good on good. It's not as hard. We just didn't do it in the beginning of the game.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems, too, was not getting Isaiah Spiller going, too, Coach. What's
Got our butt kicked up front.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got our butt kicked up front in the first half. Didn't run well. Then we dropped passes, got behind the eight ball. Drop passes were critical in that game. Had third and twos and threes. And he had some runs, and he missed a couple runs. And what he did, he didn't get some clean looks. And we didn't do a good job in the critical times of the game early. And then did for a quarter and a half till we got back in the game and we were ready to take it over and blow a block on a 10-yard line going in. That would have either walked or played. That was when Chain happened to be in the game at that time. But his filler didn't get as good a look off the goal line. Guy don't get off the ball. He's a snap count late for some reason. Just didn't come off the hot ball and cost us that. I mean, silly, stupid things, and then all of a sudden you eliminate them, and you take control of the game, and then you got control of the game to take it over and don't finish it. And that was a disappointing thing. We got to learn to do that.
Yeah, you got back into that thing, Coach. It looked like it turned into a Texas A&M kind of football
that
game for a while.
That missed field goal, I thought this is it. I mean, this is completely turning around here.
It should have been a touchdown. So we had the play before. We run Bristol, which we've run 1,000 times. We got a perfect look. We crushed the backer down. He's probably going to score, be at the 4 or 5 yard line going in. Then we drop a ball on the next play on Ezra. They'll keep coming on a route. They'll probably score or go in. And then we have to go a 3rd and 10 and can make a field goal. And should have scored a touchdown then and dropped the touchdown in there and that drive. Dropped the go route for a touchdown to put us up 17-15. It was a perfect throw. Dead on the money, dead in the right. Didn't make the plays in the critical times of the game. Once battled all the way back. The credit for them to compete, do all that stuff was phenomenal. Overcoming. Defensively, as poor as we played in the first half, they still made turnovers in the and then tried to take field goals and things and left us in the game. And then when they did that, we had chances to take it over and didn't take it over. That's heart, toughness, competitive, everything they have. I love our kids. But yep. We have to learn to take the critical plays at critical times in those games on the road, and we didn't do it, whether it was at all or any position on offense. And then you got them after 17-15 or 15-13, then you got a 3rd and 11 you give up. Backed up would have been a 3 and out. Then they get the drive, and that's when it took it all the way down. We get the ball to 12. Then we have a batted down RPO. Then we have a ball that we need to throw lower and we need to catch. And they get a pick and then get the touchdown and get in.
Yeah.
And if we get a 3 and out, give up 3rd and 11, we ain't in that situation. We get the ball back about the 40-yard line and ain't there. So the second half, defensively, we did what we were supposed to do, except for that big drive right there. That one hurt us. So, you know, it kids play hard. They play tough. They didn't play well early. And that's a disappointing thing because we had started the last 4 games on the road and here we had played well early. And we got to learn to do it now. Get that one and go to play these last two.
Absolutely. I thought that goal line stand, Coach, before the half, 4 minutes left, but now you did get a safety. They did get the safety afterwards. But that goal line stand.
Why you in? That was great. It was great heart. It was great toughness. Why are you in that situation?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody rewards all that, and I love all that. I love all that. That's phenomenal. But why are you in that situation? Why did you give up the other 70 yards to get there? Off careless, silly play.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you mentioned the last two. You got Prairie View this week and then LSU. And, Coach, you went national this yesterday with your answer. Are you about sick of answering this LSU question?
I went national every week. No, but reporters just don't believe you. They think we all lie. That's why we don't trust them.
We asked you 2 weeks ago, and we trusted you. We believe we were just letting you put it on the record.
That's the nature of the beast. And listen, that's what schools should do. They got to create cloud, and it helps other schools recruiting. That puts doubt in their mind. Hey, are you really going to be? Because the longer you're invested in the school, the harder it is for recruits to get out.
Yeah, and you got to put their fire out.
Yeah, I mean, and you, once you get that relationship and once you get that bond, you don't really break it because they're set on what they want to do. And then you got 2 weeks to do it. The more teams do that, hey, smart business by all everybody. I mean, that's what this game's about. It's about getting players and being able to make plays, and that's the media game. And the media doesn't want that story to go away. They ain't nothing to write about.
It's
I get their part of it. They're trying to get hits and clicks and stuff for all their stuff. So I mean, hey, it's part of it. So you say what you want, and we'll find out in the end who's right or who's wrong. Like I tell them, go put some money in Vegas on it, see where it goes.
You know, it's funny that so we get, we talk about all kinds of different teams and games and stuff like that. And, a thing that commonly comes up, especially right now, is the two teams from the Big 12 who are going to come into the SEC. And like, are you sure? You guys sure you want to get to the SEC right now? It's funny. John and I were talking about this a little bit. Your losses, you got three losses all in the SEC West to Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. You beat Alabama. I mean, this is a dogfight just in your side of the conference.
People don't appreciate. Everybody has players, and there's games that we should have won. I should have won every one of them. Should have won every one of them. But you're going to face. That's the challenge now. And with the way things are constructed, the teams that can control guys' minds understand that every play is like that. And kids, it's not like it used to be as much. You've got to fight these kids. I mean, it's all the different distractions, the NILs, the social media, and all. And everybody's fighting it. And certain, there's three or four or five teams that are doing it really well. Everybody else has got to learn to do it year-round because in this league, you don't get weeks off. That's not an excuse. It is. Hey, you got to play every week, and that's you got to do it in every league. But I'm just saying, this league here, as soon as you flip an inch, somebody's going to jump on you.
I tell you, it's really interesting to watch on a week-to-week basis. I thought Tennessee played Georgia as physical. We were watching some of the tape for the Joe Moore Award. Golly, that was a physical, physical game. Kentucky plays very, very physical football. And I think, I understand the scores were getting a lot higher in the SEC and things like that. But, boy, I have seen a real return to physicality in the SEC over the last couple of years. And that's been on display as it's just physical football. A lot of physical football going on right now throughout the conference again.
Well, I think the leagues are changing. People are starting to say, okay, we're not going to let you throw the ball over our head all day. We're going to get back in zones. We're going to drop guys and we're going to force you to run the ball, be patient, and take what you got and not give all the big plays, just playing man coverage and zero and just letting guys run down the field. And so you've got to go back and be patient and run the football. And like I say, defense is coming back. The physicality of the game is coming back. And that part, and then when you do it in this league, because everybody in this league got D-line. Go look at all the other leagues. All the teams don't have D-linemen playing the league. This league has, even if there's a team down the road, they're still getting two or three guys drafted in third, fourth round. Other leagues don't do that. So the week in, week out physicality and pounding in which you have to play with is a different, it's a different animal. And that's why the guys up front in this league, you have to have offensive, defensive line. You got to be skilled. You got to have all that. But you got to have the guys that put their hand in the dirt.
Who was that? I saw a guy, the kid yesterday that I wrote up from Ole Miss, made a play for on the fake field goal by DJ Johnson. Or DJ, I'm trying to remember his name. He was Ole Miss defensive tackle. I'm like, boy, this joker's stubby but athletic as all get out. He ended up being a fifth-round pick, and, boy, he's just there making big plays on Monday night. No big deal.
And what happens, like you say, in this league, you get so many high-profile guys and so many high-profile teams that a lot of those guys, people don't realize how many good players are in the league until the draft comes. And because they're not getting all the pub, and I don't, they're not, whatever two or three SEC teams jump out front, get all the attention. But everybody, if you look at that, the defensive lineman in the South, it's totally different.
Yeah.
No question.
Oh, no question.
Stronger, faster. That's a real thing now.
Well, and as we understand it, you're doing a hell of a job recruiting them too, Coach. So best of luck. And shut all this LSU crap down, Coach.
What do you want him to do?
Shut it down.
He has been.
We got to shut that down. All right. It's awful.
I'm more determined. We can be great here. We can do it here. We got to get it done, and we need to do it the right way. And we can. We just got to get over. There's a last little hump we got to get to, but we're recruiting extremely well. And we're going to get it there.
Hey, I want to ask you one last question, and I'm not gonna have you talk about the team I'm talking about, but there's a team also in the conference where it looks like the players are not really putting out the effort for the coach right now. Is that a thing now that you really have to guard that in any given year, if you don't have the right guys in your locker room, the whole thing can turn on you?
I think it's always been that way. I really do. I think it's always. I mean, you got to push kids and you got to challenge them, but you also got to love them and hug them. And and they got to understand it. And but any day, I mean, because they have the ability to leave and do things, which, listen, it's great for them to have that. But there's a responsibility of that, that and a power that sometimes that it can be distraught. You know what I mean? It can get pushed. And I think your relationship with your players, like me getting on players, at the same time, I respect what our players are doing. It's battle back and put themselves in position to play defense, even though we gave that up. To get a turnover, get a goal line stand, I don't diminish any of those things. Like I'm saying, we do some phenomenal things, but sometimes we don't have to put ourselves in, like, offense. We go out there and go just move it two or three first downs and can't get it and punt them down. So they had four possessions inside the 20. We punted them down, but they kept coming out. And then second half to walk out there and score every time you get it. That's attitude. That's demeanor. That's, you know, and you gotta push them, but you gotta love them. And there's a fine line in that. I mean, because they can turn it on. And kids today are just the challenges of that are greater because of everything, distractions, media, social media, everything that you're dealing with now.
It's Jimbo Fisher with us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it, man. Go get Prairie View Saturday.
We do. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, we'll see you, Coach.
There's Jimbo Fisher every week right here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, where you get your barbecue on, you get your football on, you get your turkey on. You get it all. You get it all.
You guys are wondering who I was talking about. It's Dan Mullen in Florida.
Well, it's not only happening there.
I don't want to put a name because somebody could pull a clip and, Jimbo Fisher blast Dan Mullen. Like, no. I don't want that out there.
No. But I know you're talking about Dan Mullen. You could have talked about a team in Austin, too.
Oh, yeah. I could have been.
Yeah, could have been.
For sure. Yeah, you're right.
Because they certainly have quit on that. 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, talking about my peeps over at HRMP, they're coming by, as a matter of fact, on Thursday. We're going to hang out, and they are just great people. All right? I was with Kevin Robler last weekend, as a matter of fact, and hanging out at Uncle Freddy's party, as a matter of fact, and talking to him about what's going on over there, and he says it's just awesome. What they are doing, they believe in the product. The product is, let's get you your payroll and your HR and do the best job we possibly can at that. And then we set you up with different options for all of your benefits packages as well. And then whatever help you need. You need help with your taxes. Obviously, you need help with your taxes. They get that done every single time. They're experts in Affordable Care Act. They get that job done every time. During the pandemic, they helped us with the small business loans. They helped us with the PPP. They helped us do everything. And if your payroll company didn't do that for you, then you need our payroll company. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm at the website carsforkids.org, spelled K-A-R-S for kids.org, and it shows you car donation made easy. It takes 2 minutes. Car, boat, RV, motorcycle. These are all things that you can donate. You can put in there what kind of car, the make, the model, the mileage, does it run, does it have a title. They'll do the title searches for you. So if you don't have the title on it, you can't find it, they can do the search and the transfer. They come out there. If your vehicle's not running, they will come out there and haul it off your property. That's not a problem at all. And what it does is it really helps kids. Your donation supports the youth and educational programs of national nonprofits, like, for example, the Houston Can Academy. And that's who they work with in Houston, helping young people have a second chance at an education and a diploma. And your donation makes a huge difference. You get a $50 Visa gift card when you mention ESPN 97.5, and they're going to give you a tax write-off. So you can write off that car and not the kid. Go to the website and check it out for yourself, carsforkids.org, K-A-R-S, the number 4, kids.org.
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 731 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You've got some thoughts. You're more than welcome to get in here. Coach Cully met the media yesterday. They didn't play this weekend, so they didn't lose. But he met the media, and he had some interesting things to say.
Did he? Were they? Was there anything interesting?
Well,
I went through the whole transcript, and it was I'm trying to think of one of them was I think he was asked what he could do better. Actually, there was a question about Tyrod Taylor, and he seemed to get a little bit feisty. You know, Tyrod is the quarterback. He was kind of, I guess it's being supposed that Tyrod Taylor could be benched eventually for Davis Mills. And, you know, is that the right move if Davis Mills isn't the best quarterback or something? I mean, I just remember when we had legitimate questions that we could ask and the answers meant something. This is, you should never as a sports city have two teams that suck this bad at the same time. It's just not fair. You should never. I feel bad for Cleveland. I do. I feel bad for Detroit.
What about New York?
I feel bad for New York in a way.
Yeah.
You know, the Knicks, the Jets.
The Giants
are never going to get the Mets. It's been a while. Yeah. Look, not necessarily all right now, but they've had it really bad for a long time. But you should never have two teams with one win in the middle of November. That shouldn't be legal. They should be able to do something. Like, somebody's got to be able to step in. Can't Biden do something? Can he send help? I don't know if it's troops or just federal help, FEMA, because it's a disaster what I'm seeing. So why can't you send FEMA out and just... What if FEMA set up? Hey, what are those trailers out there for? Other FEMA trailers? Coach Cully? Why do we have FEMA trailers out there? Well, because this is years a huge disaster, and if people need support, they want to be there for any type of dry goods and whatnot. Because it's an absolute disaster out here. You could just put them in the parking lot. Like FEMA could have their own tailgates at Texans games. Like, hey guys, just want to say I know it's a disaster. If you've spent all your money on season tickets and you're having to sell them for 1/20th of the price. We're here to give you some federal help, and while you're at it, set up a Toyota Center. Get that set up too. That's a disaster over there.
The
FEMA rocket.
I'm not sure which disaster is. This is like really.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. This shouldn't be legal to have two teams that are this big a disaster.
Wow, this is Harvey.
Can first responders hurry in?
Harvey versus Allison.
Yeah. Or the flood versus the hurricane. Yeah. Which is worse?
I don't know.
I mean, they're both terrible.
Wow. My favorite question yesterday, do you guys talk much about not scoring a touchdown on the road since Cleveland? No. No, we don't talk about that.
Oh, you mean David?
Yeah,
Kelly?
That was a question of it that was asked. Oh,
were you aware of that, Coach?
Coach, you aware you haven't scored a touchdown?
Well, I didn't know that. If I had it to do all over again, I would try to score a touchdown on the road.
He did say, what is this one about, Aaron? I forget. Yeah, the fan. Okay, here's the message to the fans.
You're scouting involved, Derek. Go ahead.
Coach, how did your record coming out of the bye week? What is the message to the fans?
To the fans, we're going to play better. Our football team is going to play better. And the big message is to our football team is that we got to be a smarter football team. We got to play better. And I think with all the stuff that we've done during the Seth Scout, that you'll end up seeing us doing that.
The bye week could help them this week.
Could it?
Who do they have this week?
Tennessee.
It could help them cover. No. Maybe.
Let's see.
I mean, Tennessee's only the... Apparently, Tennessee's only the best team in the AFC. Right now, I don't know that you can make a viable argument for anyone else.
Yeah, I don't either.
Who do you want to argue? I guess the Bills? I mean, the Bills smashed a terrible team.
It's the Bills or the Titans. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't
you
say Chiefs because they had one game.
Seen it?
It's here, isn't it?
It's there.
Ooh, let's see. So on a neutral field, I would say Tennessee is, I mean, Tennessee with Derrick Henry should be 12 on a neutral field. It should be like 15 and a half.
It's 10 and a half.
Yeah. No, I was going to say without Derrick Henry, I'd make it like 13. People don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill can do whatever he wants. And nobody believes in him. Nobody. Me, national, local. It doesn't matter. People don't believe in Ryan Tannehill.
I don't believe
that number should be a minimum of 12 and a half.
They are begging you to take the Titans. Begging you to take the Titans. 10 and a half against the Texans at home?
Is there a chance, though, that Tennessee comes out sleepwalking because they've had so many high-profile games this year that they just kind of sleepwalk in this one?
There is that chance.
I mean, they're having to get up for everybody. We're seeing it happen.
They have had a run. Now, They play good football.
They play games. Really good football. They're kind of due for a stinker.
Look how bad this Texans team is. Even if they sleepwalk, they're still covering.
Yeah.
That is. At a sleepwalk pace, they will cover 10.5.
I don't know. I mean, I've thought that with a lot of teams. Just go look at this weekend's games. Go look at how quickly the any given Sunday can flip on you. You have a week off to prepare. I'll just tell you this much. It seems like when you see this stuff and you're flipping it this year, the other side wins.
Go ahead. I want you to make a living.
I want you to make a living
betting on the Texans.
I'll watch.
I want you. I'm going to put a gun to your head. Okay.
What do you think the Texans cut? What do you think the Texans point spread record is? I'll look it up right now. I don't know it right now. I think I did look it up.
All you have to do is look at their scores, and you'll know. They're 1-0. They were 1-0, and then I think they're.
I got it right here. You can go to covers.com and just go to standings. What do you think their spread record is right now?
2-8.
4-5. What do you think Tennessee is?
Tennessee's got to be.
They played 10 games.
They played 10 games?
Uh-huh.
They got to be 7-3.
7-3.
Yeah.
Texans 4-5. Better than you would have thought.
Yeah. Who'd they cover against? They covered against the Jags?
Not the Colts. Well, they were covering a lot. They covered against the Browns. They covered against the Jags. They covered against the.
The last game out.
No, not the last game. But yeah, they covered more early.
How did they cover four times?
Early on. Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, they covered against the Rams because they scored three touchdowns. Dallas Cowboys? At the end.
8-1. Guess who was on them when they had the loser? Your boy.
They're 8-1 against the spread.
8-1 against the number. Washington football team, 2-7.
And I've been on them every
Green
week.
Bay, 9-1. They've covered. Yeah, they covered against Kansas City,
the
too, didn't they?
The only one they didn't is the Saints.
Saints is the only game they haven't covered.
They've covered nine straight.
They've covered nine straight. Is that an all-time record
in gambling history?
For the NFL?
The Texans covered against New England 25-22.
Yep.
They covered against the Rams 38-22. They covered Cleveland, and they covered the Jacksonville.
Jets 2-7. You know what? You play the other side. Green Bay, and you play the Texans. You're welcome. No. How does that taste? How does that feel to play against a team that's 9-0, a 9-game run against the spread, and to play the Texans?
Why would you play against them?
Play against them because you're wagering that it's going to.
You bet. The trend is your friend. Don't go the other way.
Nine straight?
Yeah. Ten. Make it 10.
I don't know. When you look at all these teams, it really is anywhere from 3-6 to 5-4. Like it balances out each year. It's amazing how that happens. New England 6-4, Miami 4-5, Buffalo 5-3-1. Like, it's rare that you make a lot of money staying on one team or against one. But if you faded the Jets, you're 7-2. If you fade the Jets each week, if you play, you know, obviously Tennessee and Dallas and Green Bay, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really good. That's a good run, man. A team 8-1 and 9-1 is against the spread this late in the season. It's very rare I ever see that.
Yep. It's happening. That Green Bay team is pretty good, damn good. That might be the best team in football. The way they're playing defense, that might be the best team in football.
Who else is it right now?
I think it's got to be them.
Aaron Jones is out.
They lost defensive juggernaut Whitney Merciless, though. So
yeah.
I don't know if you can say that the best anymore.
Aaron Jones is out 1 to 2 weeks with an injury. So you got that going on. You got that going on. I don't have NFL futures right now, but I can tell you this. When I look at the Texans and I see those, I'm looking at it, it's plus 10.
I got 10.5.
Chihole.
The Packers are -2.5 at the Vikings this week.
The Vikings are kind of a feisty team.
They are a feisty team, but I'm on them all the time, and they suck. They suck.
When you're on them, that's your team that.
Yeah.
There's always a team like single year. The Giants are that team for me every year. No matter what side I get on with the Giants, I'm going to lose.
That's the Cowboys for me. I'm always betting against them, and I'm always losing. They got the Chiefs this week. The Chiefs are at home against the Cowboys this week. Tough game.
We'll find out if the Chiefs are actually bouncing back.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I can tell you this. Dallas, other than one game, they've really showed up this year. That one game was an atrocity. But other than that, I saw some highlights. Somebody put some highlights together. Connor McGovern, their offensive lineman, Kellen Moore was playing him at a slot receiver position for screen passes out to the slot. He used him at fullback. He was a really successful lead blocker, like, because he's really athletic. He'd get in a hole and boom, just clear people out. And all I could think of was, why isn't every team doing this? An offensive lineman with a running start going into the hole? Like, take that on, linebackers. You're not going to like that as much.
No, why use a tight end when you know you're going to run?
Yeah, or why use a fullback who's 245, 250 pounds? Why not use a – let's get this guy who's 312
and
downhill.
Athletic, if he's athletic. All right, any other
Yeah, this guy's like an unusually athletic.
Spencer, we'll get Spencer in. He wants to talk about the Astros lineup. We'll do that. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. I want to talk to you right now about Chastain Ford. I want to talk to you about the best people to do business with in this city, period, exclamation point. I love the Chastains are awesome. And everybody over there that you're going to deal with is awesome. Justin and Tony and everybody over there cannot be nicer people that you're gonna deal with to get your car deal done. I walked in. I wanted to, first thing Patrick said, okay, where do your payments have to be? And they got me there, and they got me everything that I wanted in the vehicle. But right now, you get your vehicle. I picked the package. Okay, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. That, yeah, I love this. I love it. You get to pick everything. You get to pick everything. So you're going to get only what you want. You customize that vehicle perfect to you and get it at the price and the payments that you need it to be at. And you still get rebates. And you still get great interest. In some cases, 0% financing for 72 months. You're looking for that best deal? One place to go. You can do it all online at ChastainFord.com, or you get to the dealership, meet the nicest people that you're going to do business with. It's at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
TJS Insurance is a homeowner's insurance aggregate. Okay, they're not a company where they provide the insurance. They find A-rated insurance companies. They work directly with them. And what they do is they set up their computers so that it's an algorithm that they can put your address in. And within, you know, when you send the address, within seconds, you're going to get a firm quote. So you text the word money to 232323. That alerts their system, which automatically sends a response back that asks for your address. You send your address in. And in most cases, you are going to get a firm quote within 15 seconds. The entire process takes about 15 seconds. You'd expect for it to take 15 minutes would be an incredibly fast time, but it's 15 seconds. And they aggregate the A-rated insurance companies so that you're able to shop a variety of A-rated companies without having to sit on the phone all day long. What does that mean to you? Well, it means that you get competitive pricing and your savings are in the neighborhood of $900 or more, and many people save in the thousands. Text the word money to 232323 and find out just how much you can save on A-rated homeowners insurance today.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
747 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got to get to this Rex Ryan and Robert Saleh stuff in just a bit. That's at least if you got a sucky team, there's something interesting going on there. I wish somebody'd come out. Can't somebody come out and blast Coach Cully? Or maybe
nobody wants to blast Coach Cully. He's not a blastable guy.
I know he's too nice. That's what sucks.
Yeah, that's fine. Can't blast Coach Cully's fine. There's no reason to blast him.
Can't another owner come out and blast?
Nobody's blasting anybody. Stop it.
Can't we blast somebody?
We're not blasting anybody. We can't blast the Rockets early, but they deserve to be blasted.
Cal or something.
I mean, that happens all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. Cal's a nice guy.
Can't we blast Cal?
Can't we blast Cal? Can't somebody do something nationally that
can
we
can? Somebody blast somebody?
Wait a minute. Is this the most irrelevant organization in the history of sports? No one cares.
Who?
The Texans. No one even cares. They're so bad that you can't even. It's like they're like the little kids in the corner that, you know what? Oh, poor things. That poor things.
It is true. Like, they haven't developed. The only thing, the most relevant stuff was when people got mad at Bob McNair. when the Texans were undefeated in going into Chicago in 2012, when truth be told, their 11 team was even better. I remember that was a big deal, you know, a sloppy game that the Texans won in Chicago. But their moments of relevance were so short-lived. Like, it was 11-12, and you had a potential to be sustainable and really become a factor in football, and then 13 happened, and then that necessitated Bill O'Brien, and then that was a slow.
That was the end.
It was a slow. It's like a game death. Of let it ride. You just bleed out your stack. The Texans had a stack, and they just, in poker terms, they basically got big blinded out of the whole league.
But at what point did you ever think, did the nation think the Texans are, you know, better than the Patriots?
No, there was a time where in 11-12 the Texans were serious contenders, and they couldn't withstand it. And then under Bill O'Brien, we just never had the feeling, even when they were winning, it just didn't feel like it was real. Like, how did the Texans have won 10 in a row?
Yeah.
How is this, doesn't feel like a good team? How have they won 10 in a row?
No, and everybody was, and no one cared.
And you should never feel like that about a 10 straight win team.
No. That was the year that they played a nationally televised night game, primetime game, and there was nobody there. It was like they were on a 10 game win streak. It's like, what the hell? Why does no one care about this team? It's unbelievable.
By the way, we have a new.
Wait, we got a team that people care about.
Oh, yeah. Let's
Spencer's go. Been waiting. He wants to get in here and talk about the Astros. What do you say, Spencer?
Hey, guys. I was thinking about the Astros lineup next year. And, you know, regardless of what happens with Correa, I think you need to flip Bregman and Altuve, assuming Bregman's healthy. I just think Bregman would slot better as the leadoff guy with a little bit more patience, higher on base. And, you know, with some hitters, you know, specifically Biggio and Springer, when they moved to the leadoff spot, their on base percentage actually went up. And, you know, I love Altuve. He's one of the most unique hitters in the history of baseball. I would just prefer him batting third, you know, coming up in the first inning with Bregman and Brantley ahead of him and hopefully on base. That's just the lineup. And then, you know, for the rotation next year, if Verlander doesn't come back, I really, really hope they bring back Greinke, because, you know, as wobbly as he was down the stretch, the guy led the team in innings pitched. And as much potential as all our young starters have, there's also a lot of injury history and question marks and all that kind of good stuff. And I just hope they bring Greinke back, because, you know, he is what he is. He'll give you 170, 180 innings, an ERA of about 4. That's not great, but innings pitch is a big deal these days when pitchers don't go more than 4, 5, 6 innings. All right, thanks, guys.
I'm going to disagree with you on the Greinke thing. First of all, I don't know how much he's going to cost. Secondly, I don't know. I think I'd much rather see a young guy come up, or, you know, you're right now, you're stacked. I mean, you got McCullers, you got Fromber is your two, you got Garcia, and you got Urquidy, and then you got Javier, and you got Odorizzi. You got 6 guys already in the rotation. I just don't see where Greinke fits. And we'll see what else happens. I, quite frankly, want to see Starling Marte in the leadoff spot, followed by, and then you gotta decide where you're going to put. I think Bregman's got to move down in the lineup. I think Bregman's got. I don't know why that Bregman was it's assumed Bregman is in the 3-hole for this baseball team. He's had some good years. He's a cog. But there's no reason that Kyle Tucker doesn't get more at-bats. There's really no reason that Kyle Tucker. Listen, you need to move Tucker to 2, Altuve to 3.
Why are you doing
Alvarez
that?
4.
Why are you going Tucker 2, Altuve 3?
Because Marte's leading off and stealing bases. Okay.
Did we get Marte?
We did. We will.
In our world. Okay. Yeah,
and this is my world.
Why Tucker 2 instead of Altuve?
Because you don't want back-to-back lefties with Alvarez batting 4th.
You could go Alvarez 3, Bregman 4, Tucker 5.
You could.
I don't see that much. Honestly, 3-4-5 to me doesn't.
I think you got to get it. Listen, there's a lot. Judge bats 2nd for the Yankees. Your best hitter should be up there, and Tucker's their best hitter.
Yeah, you want them, the concept. That's why they put George Springer at one. They want guys with pop to get more at bats.
Yeah,
that's the analytics way, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
Paul Molitor did it as far back as the, you know, 80s and into the 90s. Craig Biggio with the Astros. It makes sense if you're 20 plus home runs. Only now, Major League Baseball, there's teams who say, hey, we'll put a guy with 30 plus home runs, one or two.
Yeah,
and it certainly makes sense. I wouldn't have a problem with Tucker there. I think he is a run producer, an RBI guy, and I would question maybe 8-9-1. I would question his opportunities at RBIs from the two.
Well, it's not like Brantley didn't have plenty of opportunities. It's not like, yeah, it's like even Altuve.
But look at Brantley.
Even Springer. That was my beef about Springer leading off. He's a run producer. Why is he batting first and following the 8 and 9 hole hitter? But he had plenty of opportunities to back guys in. You're still going to be, even without Carlos Correa in this lineup, you're still going to be deep. You know, you got, okay, my lineup is Marte first, Tucker second, Altuve third, Alvarez fourth, Yuli fifth, Bregman sixth. That's not too shabby.
I don't know, John. Look at George Springer's RBI totals. And these are all with 600 or more. 640 in 2016, 82 RBIs.
Well, he led the team with 82 one year.
Yeah, that was 16. 85 RBIs in the trash can year.
Well, I know.
71 in 2018 with 500. Those are not great. I mean, that's too low. That's from the one hole. That's too low for a guy like Tucker, too. Tucker would be in the two hole. Maybe Marte would be, you know, maybe he plays like he played last year. I don't know that those RBI totals are what you want. You look at how they are, the guys in the middle of the lineup for the Astros have been RBI getters. I'm not sure that's what you want for Justin Tucker. I think it'd be too few opportunities.
Let's take a look at RBIs this year. Yordan out of the cleanup spot. Okay. Carlos batted around. Tucker had 92, batting seventh.
Yeah.
Altuve had 83. Look who's in front of him. Altuve had 83 leading off.
Tucker's at 6 and 7, and look at the guys in front of him, man. Those are straight ballers. And look at how many RBIs he got. The guys in front of him this time would be Marte in your world. Marte and Machete and one of those center. And not, well, no. Who would be eighth in if Marte's at one?
Who would be
Yuli?
What?
You dropping Yuli?
Yuli's fifth. Yuli's batting fifth. Bregman's sixth.
No, whoever your shortstop is.
Yeah.
So
and catcher.
I don't know. Tucker would have catcher, shortstop, and Marte instead of guys like Correa.
Well, he doesn't have Correa anymore anyway.
Well, I know, but I'm saying from this year. Right. This year, you get a lot more opportunities to knock in runs. I don't think that's a good idea to put Tucker. As a matter of fact, that's...
He's also on base a lot for Alvarez, for Altuve and Alvarez.
Yeah, he's a run producer. Like, do you want him being a run scorer or a run producer? I think he's a good RBI guy. I don't think they will look for him there. I think he'll stick Brantley, you know, if they had it to. I think Altuve turns into a three-hole. The guy, it's likely to be Bregman 5 and Tucker 6 and Yuli 7. That's probably what it's going to be.
Well, yeah, we'll see what they do with Uncle Mike. Like you said, I don't know if you got to platoon him or what, but Uncle Mike still had a .359 on base percentage.
Against lefties, though.
No, not against lefties. Against lefties versus lefties this year, he hit .219 with a .261 on base. Against righties, .363 with a .418 on base.
Yeah, he was terrible against lefties. It was the worst. I looked it up. I mean, he's in a .500 OPS. It was the worst of his career.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Time to talk about U of H this Friday night. Who's going? Let's go. It's going to be so much fun out there. We're giving tickets away today, so keep on listening. It's a two-pack, by the way. It's a two-pack, not a three-pack. It's a two-pack we'll be giving away a little bit later in the show, so keep on listening here. But tickets start at just $20. UHCougars.com, UHCougars.com/tickets. You can get your tickets, and let's fill this place up. This is against Memphis. We got owe them something. We owe Memphis something. This is a team that's won 9 straight games, 9-1, and on its way to the championship game against Cincinnati, either here or there. We shall see. If Cincinnati loses a game, it's going to be here. But the Cougs got to keep on winning. This is a vital game. This is huge. Haven't been home for a while. We got the tailgate out there. It's going to be a beautiful night. This is the place to be on Friday night, and you got to go. Let's go. If you haven't seen the tailgate there, they got stuff for the kids out there. They got, it's just people, this is the most affordable, great sporting event that you can see, okay? This is it. So if you're looking for a great way to take your whole family and enjoy and get behind these Cougs because they deserve it, go to uhcougars.com or 713-GO-COUGS.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.